Just as we were playing then, I thought it would be really important this morning. I think this is what God was saying, that there's a number of people here this morning who feel weary, who feel as though they're burdened by life. And there are a lot of things going on for them that mean that you feel like it's stodgy this morning. And if that's you, could I ask you to be brave and just stand up for a second? Okay. And what I'd like you to do if you're around these people is, would you stand and lay your hands on their shoulders? And we're going to pray for them, because the word says, come to me, you are who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I believe that God, by his Holy Spirit, wants to give you rest this morning. He wants to take away some of the pain, the difficulty that you're feeling. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us, the way that you sustain us, the way that you give us life. And Lord, we confess this morning that we struggle. We struggle to deal with this life that we live. And we need your help. So Lord, for these people who have stood this morning, would you touch them by your Holy Spirit? Would you come now, Lord, and just give them the rest that you promised, that they might go from this place with a sense of release, able to deal with the pressures that come their way. Lord, would you, by your Spirit, do these things, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a long time since I've preached in the morning here, and I've forgotten all my own rules. I used to set myself rules. The first one is, don't have fried eggs for breakfast. It's not a good idea. The thing that I've forgotten is how much you sweat when you preach. And I've noticed that I've actually started sweating from my fingertips, which makes it very difficult to play the bass. So I apologise if I was rubbish this morning. We're going to look at Colossians, if you'd like to turn there. And Colossians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a young church at Colossae. It's about 100 miles from Ephesus. It's a place where Paul's never been. And it seems strange, doesn't it, that this guy writes this impassioned letter to a group of people who he's never met. But it was likely that when Paul was in Ephesus, preaching and doing all the work that he had to do there, that some of his associates went down to Colossae and started evangelizing there. Could have been Timothy, certainly probably was Epaphras, who is mentioned in the passage here. But Paul is in prison, and he's heard back from Epaphras that these people are being swayed. There's a group of people called Gnostics, and they're people who like to mix religion and philosophy and produce a new version of the gospel. And I'm interested, we'll look at that later on. So Paul writes this address to this fledgling church. And for me, it's a great letter. It's a letter that deals with some really important issues. It's great for personal reflection. And I don't know if you had a chance. I read it in the bath yesterday. In the Amplified Bible, which is quite tricky to do. And I read it in about 10 minutes. You can probably read it in 10, 15 minutes, no problem at all. And it's good, because I don't know about you, but sometimes you get advice, don't you? You shouldn't do this, you should do that, and you think, how? And Paul, he speaks to the Colossian church here, and he gives them lots of advice. He says, don't be swayed this way, you know, make sure you do this. And you think, how on earth do I do that? And he goes on to explain how, and it's a really good book on how to be a follower of Christ, on what it looks like to follow him. And it speaks on so many different levels. But I want to focus particularly on a couple or three verses today, and perhaps we'll just read those to begin with. Chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. And we'll stop there for a minute, but we'll look at more than that. I think there are a lot of dangers to the church in this world that we live in today, aren't there? Just as there were dangers for this early church. There's plenty of things that come against us. There's plenty of things in our midst which warp the way that we do things, which challenge the good, pleasing and perfect will that God's got for us. That happens to us as a church. It happens to us as an individual. I don't know about you, but I find this life quite difficult. I find it difficult to walk in a way that I consider that God would say, well done. Do you find that? Yeah. I'm standing out on a limb here, aren't I? I find it difficult to do that, and I'm glad you agree, because it is a difficult walk we have. But I think sometimes we make it more difficult by putting skews on it that shouldn't be there. We make our lives so difficult by actually pandering to a philosophy that this world has and not onto the teachings of Christ. And I want to look at this morning just a few things that, or a couple of things really, that I think God has been laying on my heart for us as a group of people. And I want you to take them away and consider them. And I want you to consider personally whether they're things you need to deal with. But before I do that, I'd like just like to go back to verse 18. And I was reading in the Amplified, as I said. It says this, and see how it fits with your version. He also, this is talking about Christ, he also is the head of his body, the church. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place. He might stand first and be preeminent. I think one of the major things that we need to get right in our lives is that Christ is preeminent. That Christ stands first. That Christ in everything and in every respect occupies the chief place. And that's the biggest failing that we have as individuals, as a group of people, is that we don't always put Christ in first place. If we're to live and to conduct ourselves in a manner that's worthy of the calling that's been placed on us, then we can never forget to put Christ in his rightful place. As soon as we think that there's something else or that we've got the strength to do it ourselves, we've missed it. We've completely missed it. It's him who stood in our place so that we might be redeemed. It's him who's made a way for us to stand in the presence of God. It's him who's given us everything we need to live a fulfilled life. So it's him who's worthy of our praise and our honour, and who should take that central place in our lives. All the hidden knowledge and treasures and wisdom are found in him. They're not found in Darwin, in Einstein, Aristotle, Plato, great philosophers, great scientists. They're found in Christ Jesus. However long our relationship with him has been, we won't have scratched the surface to the depth of his majesty, the depth of his power, the depth of his authority, the depth of his love for us. I find that astonishing. I love to talk about Christ. So reticent to talk about him, aren't we? But I love to talk about, I love to hear about other people's perspective of Jesus Christ and who he is and who they discern he is. It's tremendous. Because he is so worthy of being the centre of our lives. So we have to, like Paul says in verse 6 here, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Paul recognises the challenge that lays before us as believers. We've accepted Christ as our Lord. I hope you have this morning accepted Christ as your Lord. If you haven't, why not? It's the best place to be. But that relationship with Christ isn't fully developed when you make that decision. Is it? It's not fully developed. It's like saying that at the point you get married to someone, that's it. That relationship's fully developed and you don't need to work at it anymore. That's garbage, isn't it? We all know it. The fact is, Christ has introduced himself to us, that I'm Jesus Christ. I went to the cross for you. I died. I saved your sin, saved you from your sin, saved you from eternity of being lost. It's good to meet you. Now let's get to know each other. And that relationship is just as much dependent on us as it is on him. If we're going to develop as a group of people, as we're going to develop as individuals, we can only be strong if we continue to seek to develop that relationship. And there aren't any shortcuts. Chaz stood up here this morning and talked about reading the Bible and aids to reading your Bible. We could talk about prayer and the fact that we need to pray together. We could talk about the fact that we need to spend time with one another, building one another up, sharing burdens. But they're not easy things to do because they take time. But they're essential, aren't they? Because there aren't any shortcuts in this life to being fulfilled in a place where Christ is central. It's easier sometimes to put on the facade of being a follower of Christ. But the daily evidence or the fruit, and you know it, of him working in our lives is severely lacking. It's not a club or a religion that we belong to. We belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have a relationship with him, and it needs to be developed. So whilst we can live this life looking something like the real thing, in fact, if we're not spending time being rooted into him, allowing him to pervade into our lives, when trial comes, rather than standing firm because of our unshakable faith in him, we're swept aside. All of us have got things that are going to come and try and sidetrack you, whether it's things of this world, whether it's the things that the enemy throws at you. They can be so tempting or so devastating sometimes that you can lose sight of where your first love is. Do you know, in all those situations, in all those struggles that you have, it's Christ that's got the proper perspective. No one else. Christ has. And sometimes when we lose our sense of where he is in this, we lose our direction, we lose our way. And we flounder. And I want to challenge you first this morning, and if you've heard nothing so far, listen to this, it's a question for you. Are your minds engaged in winning the battles that threaten you? Or are we shallow people, easily damaged and broken? Are your minds engaged in winning the battles that threaten you? Because it's often in the mind where these things begin. Well, that's the introduction over with. You'd be glad to know. Now I want to get on to the two things that I feel that God has been prompting me with over the last long time, 6 months, I would think. And they're based on these couple of verses, 8 and 9. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. I wonder how many of you would agree that we've been abundantly blessed as a group of people with marvellous talents. Marvellous, tremendous ability that God's given us as a group of people. You can see I'm warming up, got rolled my sleeves up now. Tremendous musicians, apart from me. Children's workers, the ability to build things, to do things with excellence, the creative drama. I certainly think that we have got a tremendously talented group of people here. The question really, though, is that enough? One of the views or sort of unwritten rules of this world in which we live today, one of his philosophies, I think, of living, is that humanity by itself has the ability to discover all things, answer all questions, and deal with all of life's problems. That's absolute and utter rubbish. But the trouble is, that view has pervaded the church to such an extent that we believe that we can do this by ourselves. And I tell you today that we cannot. Ooh, I haven't felt that feeling for a long time. We can't. We're taught, whether we recognise it or not, that we need to be independent, that we need to be able to deal with everything that life throws on us ourselves. And that if we have our mind set on it, we can achieve anything we want to achieve. I had my mind set on it to be a world famous rock musician. God bless me by letting my hair fall out. But you see, that's the view, this set up in our society, and there are a lot of people who feel like failures because they haven't achieved those things that they dreamt of. So the answer to the question, are all our talents and are all our abilities enough to do what God's called us to do, is no way, nowhere near. If this is the standard, we can probably get to about here, a little tiny bit, by our own abilities and our own strength. Without Christ, without the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, we don't have the power. We don't have the strength. We don't have the authority. And I think that we believe somehow that we have. And we're wrong, 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 wrong. When you go through life's difficult times, Christ has put into place a body of people who can support you through that time. It's not up to you to struggle with it yourself. It's up to you to find God in that situation. And he provides people who come alongside you and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says to you, Rob. No one actually did say that to me. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? So when you come to me for advice now, I'm going to, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It's not like that, but you have groups of people around you who say, I believe this is what God's saying to you, Rob. I believe that this is what God's saying to you, Tony. I believe that this is what God's saying to you, Joe. It's important that we recognise that we can't cope with this life on our own. And that God never intended us to. He created us to live in relationship. In relationship with him, in relationship with other people. So many times it talks in the Bible about being us being a body. But we're not a body. We're a disparate group of people who pander to the philosophy of this world that we need to be independent. We need to be dependent on Christ and dependent on one another. Because if we're not, we haven't got enough. We haven't got enough to live this life that we're living, let alone go out and reach this community for Christ. I don't know if you've ever asked yourself the question, what does God have for us in this church? What does God have for us in this society? I'm the sort of person who asks those questions, and I believe that God started to reveal some of those answers to me. And when I look at those things, I think there's no way. There is no way that we can do that. And I think the sooner we come to that realization that there's no way that we can do the things that God wants us to do by ourselves without his empowering, the quicker we're going to get there. And the sooner that we realize that in our own individual lives, that there's no way that we can fulfill the calling of God on our lives without him in it, the sooner we're going to get there. I have to tell you, this morning I was so nervous about getting up here. I was in the toilet, John said. That takes a quarter of an hour usually. It was longer than that for me. By myself, I cannot do this. I cannot. The strength isn't there. The words aren't there. But I find that with the empowering of God, I can. And surely we should be like that as a group of people. And I'm not standing here saying I've got it right and I'm perfect. On this instant, I'm preaching and, you know, it's beyond me. But most of the time, I try and do things my own way. I try and do things in my own strength. I think that I know the best way. I'm pretty well able to cope with most things, aren't I? Rubbish. We delude ourselves sometimes if we believe that we can achieve a minuscule amount of what God's got for us. If we can be even a tenth of the person that Christ intends us to be. Have you ever asked God the question, who do you want me to be? What plans have you got for me? And have you ever been stunned by his answer? Read the word and discover who God intends you to be. Quite frightening, really, because I'm nowhere near it. I don't think we've seen anything approaching the fullness of what God's got in store for us. Anything close. I want to encourage you with that today, so that you can go away and say, we can't do it. Let's start praying. Let's start finding out and putting God Christ central in our church, in our own lives. I think much of the reason why we don't see God moving in tremendous power in the church today, like you hear about in some places in the world, is that Christ is waiting for us to admit that we're not strong enough, that we can't do it by ourselves. I think we need to regain a perspective which is correct. You might be disagreeing with what I said this morning. At least you'll go away and think about it. The second thing that I think is pervasive in the world, which I think has come into the church and that we need to address, and it's a little bit related but a little bit unrelated, is that it's okay if we want to hold on to rage, anger, bitterness, hurt, forgiveness, unforgiveness. It's okay if we want to hold on to those things. That's our right. That's our right as people, isn't it? If you've made me angry, I'm going to stay angry. It's my right to be angry with you. If you've hurt me, it's my right to not forgive you. That's what the world says. That is not what Christ said. And if we want to put Christ at the centre of our lives, we need to have an understanding that those things can't be there. Have you ever read the Bible? I don't know if you have, I do it sometimes. And you're there reading the Bible and suddenly it smashes you in the face. It's probably when I'm reading it in the bed and I fall asleep. Not really. It smashes you in the face. And suddenly, something that you've been doing for years becomes so clear to you. And so evident that the Holy Spirit is saying, stop it. Put it down. It's not the best thing for you. And sometimes we believe that in our great wisdom as humans, that we know the best way to handle our lives. The fact is we don't. Christ knows the best way for us to handle our lives. Do you know that verse? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. Christ has a plan. It's a good one. And sometimes we're just totally missing out on that plan. Because what we're doing is saying, I'm the best judge of what's best for me. No one else. Gone ahead of my notes. We can get on and deal with these things. And I've got to tell you that they're a struggle to deal with. They're not something that, well, they are sometimes, it depends how God works, but generally they're not something that you put down overnight. They're something that you struggle with, that you deal with, that you, in your mind, resolve to change. But over a period of time, it happens. But if we don't resolve to change those things, we end up walking in a place where Christ isn't. And it's a lonely place. And you know, the longer we hold on to these feelings of anger, hatred, unforgiveness, slander. When we hold on to those things, the only people that's being hurt by that is you. If I hold unforgiveness in my heart, the only person that's being hurt by that is me. If I hold rage inside me, uncontrollable rage, the only person who's being hurt by that is me. You may get the occasional consequence of it, but it's me. That's being destroyed. Me that's not living in the fullness of the life that Christ had intended for me when he went to the cross. A life of fullness. Maybe it's time, as a group of people, that we admit to ourselves and to one another that we haven't got what it takes to live this life. We just haven't got it. But Christ has. And he's put us in a body full of other people making their way with gifting, with talent, with his spirit living in them so that they can build you up and strengthen you. I just want to go on to chapter 3, if you've got your Bibles there. And we'll just read the first four verses there. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Is it time that we set our hearts, our emotions, our desires on things above rather than on things in the earth here? Is it time we started setting our minds on the things of God, not of the things of this world? Would it allow us to become the people that God wants us to be? It says in the Word somewhere, I can't remember where it is, I'm useless on references, but it says, consider yourself with sober judgment. Consider yourself with sober judgment. And I think sometimes we fail to do that. All of us are guilty of falling short. But let's resolve to think on the things above, to consider ourselves with sober judgment and say, Lord, you've got some work to do in me. I can't do it on my own. And to re-engage in that fight to win the battleground, which is our mind. Some people here this morning need to forgive other people who have hurt them. Some of you need to let go of rage, of anger. Some of you need to take yourself off the throne of your life and put Christ back on. Some of you need to forgive the church. Some of us need to repent of a selfish, me-first attitude. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of quiet. And that don't go down for too well, so it'll be a short time of quiet. And then we'll have a little bit of music. And I want you just to consider where you are. Because it's very easy, and I do it a lot, is to come to church to hear a message and to go away, and that hasn't pervaded at all. But I believe